let me ask you about your bookshelf behind you.
Yes.
Okay, so your bookshelf is color coordinated, like home edit.
It looks like a rainbow.
Yeah, each shelf, each individual shelf is a rainbow. And I'm not that anal or that good at organizing. My four-year-old really likes rainbow organizing. So Charlie did it. It wasn't even me.
Oh, that's so interesting. Because, you know, you're like a real author. Well, I'll do your intro in a second. We're busy like catching up. You're like a real author and a writer and a journalist and all that. So I would think that your bookshelf would look like the bookshelf of like, you know, a 75-year-old professor somewhere and not like chic. Not like your books would be on there not by color, but by some other, you know, more smarty pants way. Because I did that. I home edited the fuck out of my bookshelf, and my boyfriend, who's like an intellect and a writer and a reader and all that stuff, was horrified by it.
My favorite organizational thing is I once went in a bookstore in Hawaii. It's like the most Western bookstore in the United States, and their books were organized by gender. So it was only books written by women and only books written by men in like different sections.
I can't tell whether that's like progressive or offensive. I'm not sure. It's like somewhere between.
It was gender, but then also color, but not rainbow color. It was like, here's a blue section, here's a red section. And they told me it was because people typically didn't remember the title of a book. It's like a vacation bookstore, right? They would come in and be like, I know it was written by a woman and I think it was blue.
And what's the Michigan behind you?
My husband's from Wisconsin.
That's not Michigan.
It's like we have all of the Great Lakes.
Oh, got it.
Yeah. And then Madagascar is my son's favorite country.
Yeah, that's kind of where Anthony's from, too.
Madagascar? No, I'm not from Madagascar. I don't even know where that is.
So we've already started our interview, apparently. But no one, people are like, who's this chick? Who are they talking to? So our guest tonight, who you've been listening to, is an award-winning journalist, author. She's written, is it 7 books or 8?
I think it's 10.
I think it might be 10.
Yeah, I think so. I think it is. Yeah, I know that's crazy.
Okay. Wow. Okay, update your Wikipedia.
Oh, please. I would love to know how to update my Wikipedia. If someone could tell me how to do it. Every time we try to update it, some troll goes in and just deletes everything. So I came on your show when I had my very first book 10 or 11 years ago.
That's right. I know. And I was going to ask you. So it was interesting. If you remember, we were talking about, like, I'd written a couple of books and you were like, I'm going to be writing books and I wrote this chapter. Will you read it? And like, you know, give me some critique. And you gave me this chapter and I was like crying reading it because it was perfect. You were like, what's the feedback? I'm like, maybe you can add a comma here. You know, I had like literally nothing. I was like, I mean, there's a debate whether you should put a comma here or not. Maybe you should. I don't like, that was literally my only, it was so perfectly written and so well written. And it was just like, and why haven't you been writing books this entire time? So I'm really happy that you've been writing books this entire time.
I think I even interviewed you for my first book. I think you are in Celebrity Inc., aren't you?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. And ever since
yes,
that.
So thank you.
And with your wonderful encouragement, I just haven't stopped writing books for the past decade. And yeah, I can't believe this is my life now.
So yeah, no, I can believe it because you started out as a journalist and you were writing for the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times and Glamour. I remember you wrote that whole big piece for Glamour. I was so impressed. I mean, you're like the real deal. So you're somebody who should be writing books, you know. And your latest book, I have to mention it because it's just award-winning and amazing. It was the highly anticipated novel, We Are Not Like Them, about two best friends who quickly have to deal with some very serious issues regarding race. How did that book come about? Well, first of all, explain to Anthony the difference between fiction and nonfiction, because I was trying to explain to him and he didn't get it.
One's real and one's not real. I know that one, but I don't know which one.
My book is a novel, which means it's fiction, which means it's all made up. And my co-writer, Christine Pride, is a Black woman and I'm a white woman. And we wrote this book. There's two main characters, a white woman and a Black woman. But we were being interviewed by another male radio host who I won't name because I'm not a nasty, nasty gossip columnist the way that I used to be in my misguided youth. But this male radio host goes, okay, so you're Christine, the Black woman, Riley, the black woman in the book, and Joe, you're Jen, the white woman in the book. And I'm like, that's not how fiction works.
Right.
So,
yeah. Nope. It's not. It had to come from somewhere.
Yeah. Our messed up brains. We just made it all up. That is what fiction, a novel, is.
Anthony, does that make sense to you? Do you get that now?
No, I still think it's based on her life, though.
I think that a lot of authors, their first novel is based on their life. So my first novel, which was kind of a practice novel, which I think Cooper read a billion years ago, Love Rehab, was totally based on my sad dating life in my 20s. I mean, to the extent that, like, I mean, it was like ripped from the headlines, real stories of the terrible men that I dated. But now, I mean, I've run out of interesting things in my life. No one wants to read a book about, like, 41-year-old mom of two living in Philly. But the book is set in Philly. That's about the only thing that it has to do with my life.
So you had to make it up. Did you get high before you started making it up? Or did you...
I wish that I could get high. Guys, whenever I get asked, like, when people are like, oh, would you like a superpower? And some people are like, I'd like to be invisible. I'd like to fly. And I'm like, I'd like to smoke weed without getting a panic attack. It's all or smoke or eat, because every time I tell people that I can't, like, everyone has a solution for me too. Mm-hmm. They're like, try this edible, try this gumdrop. And I'm like, literally everything makes me freak out, be convinced that there's strangers or spies in my house, and then just like sit there rocking back and forth until it's over. So I did not get high when I wrote the book. I also don't drink when I write. Like, I know I've, like, you know, there's all these like tales of authors, mostly men, who get hammered and then write a book. I can't drink and write. Like, I have to write first thing in the morning, and then I just make a bunch of shit up. And really, that's how easy it is.
Do you write every day? Do you make it like a thing that you get up and write? You one of those kind of writers that, like, you're very really?
Yeah, it's a thing. I think that it has to be like a habit, honestly. And when I get out of it, when I don't do it every day, it's harder and harder to get back into it. So even if it's crap, like total crap, I make myself write 2,000 words a day. Sometimes it takes me 10 minutes, honestly, because sometimes I just write it in my head before I go to bed. And then sometimes it takes me 4 hours, but I'm not allowed to get up and have a snack until I finish it. And I really want my snack.
You know, that's how it's same thing with dogs. You know what I mean? You motivate them with treats and it works. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, this book, it's about race. It's about social justice. All things, you know, that everyone is talking about these days, but it's also about how hard it is to talk about those subjects. And we wanted to make this fiction, to make it a novel, Anthony, which, again, it's a book that's made up.
Okay, made up book. Just say that.
Made up book. Because we wanted it to feel accessible, like, for people who don't normally want to have those conversations on a daily basis, right?
Right.
It's easier to talk about fictional characters than it is to talk about your own kind of racist grandma. So and that's what we've been seeing. We've been doing one book club a night since the book came out on October 4th, which means my kids have not gone to bed before 9 o'clock in like 4 months. I'm the worst mother.
I'm sure you're not. I'm sure you're the coolest mother. You know, when I saw that you're a mom, I was like, yes, like, you are the kind of person. When I see, I've got a friend, I won't say who it is, but I've got a friend who, like, is a terrible mother. And I hate when I'm around her and her kids. I'm always like, it's so cringy. And it's like, why did she do this? But when I saw you have kids, I was like, yes, Joe Piazza is somebody who should have children. And that's so... what is being a mom change your perspective on writing or what you write about, or does it have any effect whatsoever, or that's just like something else you are?
I mean, one, it changed, like, I am so much more freaking efficient when I write or when I make anything. It's just like, all right, girl, you have got an hour, sit down and bang that out, because look, someone's going to pull the Wi-Fi cord and you're screwed and for the rest of the day. But I think it's made me more curious about other things too. So, like, I did this whole podcast on mom influencers on Instagram because now I'm a mom and I'm being served up all of these Instagram images of ridiculously gorgeous women in white dresses and barefoot children and chickens everywhere. And I was obsessed with it. And so I think that I've realized, you know, not just how little the world reports enough or well on mothers, but on women in general. And I think that's what being a mom has made me think of. But other than that, I mean, I'm still the same person. I'm just more tired, and I drink earlier. I start drinking at like 5 and stop at 8 so that I can go to sleep and wake up.
So let's talk about your book. So we started saying, you were talking about the fact that it's easier to write fiction about more serious topics because you can really get into it a little bit. So were you able to really say all the things you wanted to say about, I mean, there's a lot to say about race in America, and the concept of the book, or like the storyline is about these two best friends. One of them is married to a cop, and the cop ends up shooting a black teenager. And it's like sort of the crux of the BLM movement. And it's really told through the eyes of these two friends and how they've had to deal with it, which is, I think, really interesting, because I think across the country, friendships have been torn apart over BLM and issues that are similar. So it actually, even though it's fiction, it's also a little bit nonfiction in that way.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I mean, I think that we've seen so many friendships ripped apart just by kind of the tribalism that we've seen in the country in the past few years, and particularly since the Black Lives Matter movement really, really, you know, erupted in after George Floyd's murder. The interesting thing is we wrote this book in 2018 and 2019 and turned it in the spring of 2020, a week before George Floyd was murdered, because we'd seen so many shootings before. It's just, you know, all of a sudden the world got a little more woke to it. And right. we were able to change some things that summer, and we didn't change a lot, but we knew that we wanted to write a book that showed the good and the bad of like how people deal with race. And that meant that there would be some things on the page that people would find offensive that were said by people of both races, right? The interesting thing is that post George Floyd, we had some readers and we had some editors who were really offended by that. Mostly white people who were like, oh my God, you can't say this anymore. You're going to get canceled. Do you want to get canceled? And I was like, these are things real people say in the real world. And also, I don't fucking care if I get canceled. I'll go do something else tomorrow. I'll go like paint right. houses in the castles. Like I'm like this close to being right. canceled every day.
Every day. But you always have been. You always have. I mean, you, I mean, you and I would get on Showbiz Tonight and be like, let's dish about Britney, you know, and we didn't care. We said what we thought. We were experts talking about celebrity culture. But it was a different time because, yeah, social media wasn't what it was then. I mean, you and I together could have been canceled 20 times over just on like one segment.
I hardly want to speak anymore. I don't go on social media. I'm like, everything I say is vaguely offensive to somebody. Somebody's going to cry about everything. Anyway, we left these things in. We left, you know, some of the cop's family is a white family. They live in suburban Philadelphia, which is where I grew up. Oh, see, Anthony, it's like real life, because that is where I grew up.
See? It's based on your life.
You know, I grew up around a lot of, like, you know, families, and some of my family members, they would never call themselves racist, but they're going to say things that seem offensive in 2020 and that are wrong to say now mm-hmm. in the world. And we wanted to get those on the page so that people feel like, oh my God, yes, I have a friend that says this, or my aunt Celia says this, and now I maybe know better how to react to it, or now I can open up a discussion with her because it's about fiction, it's about characters in a book, it's not about her, and it's not about me. And that's what we're seeing. Like, you know, people who haven't been comfortable talking about race are really opening up in all of these book events that we're doing. It's so cool.
Like what? Like what dish? Tell us a couple of stories that you've heard and some of the reactions, because that's fascinating.
Well, I mean, we just like did not expect. I mean, things like we had one bookstore owner was interviewing the two of us, and she was a white woman. And she goes, I was married to a black man for 10 years and we never talked about race. It's probably why we got divorced. And we're just like, wow, that's everything about that is fascinating.
Right.
You know, we do corporate events. We do a lot of corporate book clubs, and this one black guy, his sister is a newscaster, just like our black character. And she gets so much online hate. I mean, people say the most disgusting things every time she does a broadcast. And we talked about it, and he talked about it in front of his whole company, in front of like hundreds of people. And he's like, I've never even talked about my sister at work before. Like, I don't know why, but like, because we're having this conversation, I felt like about this book, I felt like I could say this and talk about a thing that's really been bothering me, but why else would I say it at work, right?
Right.
So those kinds of things just keep coming up, and it's been really cool. I mean, this is probably the most rewarding book that I've done. Although I can't say that because I wrote a book about feminist nuns that I still think is magical. And
right, that is, yeah, that was like your star moment. I mean, I saw that book everywhere. That was crazy.
So good. Yeah, If Nuns Ruled the World, about badass feminist nuns. And Anthony, that was a book about real people.
Real nuns?
Real nuns. Yeah, they were real life nuns.
I like nuns. People. Nuns are really cool. I grew up with nuns. I like nuns.
I know, me too. I love them too. I think they're some of the most badass women in the world, and they don't get nearly enough credit for being badass women.
My main question for you is, when you started writing books and getting your name out there, why didn't you change your name to Joe Pizza?
Oh, yeah, because I think it was already taken on Instagram.
Oh, see, that would have been a great name, because you're trying to be Joe Piazza. It's just much easier to be Pizza.
Well, everybody loves pizza, yeah.
Right. Mm.
You know, then I wouldn't get asked literally every day, are you related to the baseball player? Which I'm not. But one time I did get really good Mets tickets because I showed them my driver's license when I was like 24 years old and poor and living in New York City, Shea Stadium. And they just gave me some really good seats. I don't know who Mike Piazza left them for, but they were mine that day.
Yeah.
Oh, but that's pretty cool.
Yeah, but the name Pizza opens up many more doors because that's more famous. Pizza is very famous.
That's true. Last name Pizza. I'm looking it up.
I had you for lunch today.
That's the word. God. Like, oh my gosh. See, like that's the kind of thing that would get someone canceled now.
Right. See, that's the number one thing that you do not want to hear if your last name is Pizza.
I just found Gary Pizza. Yeah. I feel like we should call him.
I'm an audiobook person just because, you know, being in radio for so long, I like to listen to things, and, you know, podcasting and radio is sort of like my thing. How do I say this other than just to ask you straight out? Bitch, how'd you get Maren Ireland to do your audiobook? She's like my favorite actress. I know that there's like four people that read your book, but I downloaded it on my Audible immediately, but Maren Ireland, like, holy shit.
She's incredible. I mean, she is such a magical, magical actress and such a great voice actress. I've listened to our audiobook twice now, and we knew that we wanted Maren, and we begged to get her, and it ended up working out. And Shayna Smalls, who's the other voice actress on it, was also incredible. I mean, I think listening to this book is kind of like listening to an audio play, honestly.
I agree. Yeah.
They just do such a beautiful, beautiful job that I wrote the book, and I don't read my books because I'm just like, if I read it, I'll find like a mistake or something. I've listened to that twice, and it's just because they're so incredibly good.
Yeah, and you must listen and just be like, I can't believe I wrote this, because as they're reading it, you're just, it's beautiful. It's poetry. It really brings it to life, I find. You know, I think choosing who reads your book is really important. So we had a woman on, Terry Schnaubelt, who read my last book. I was like, you know, I'm in radio. Let me audition. Let me ask to read my own book. And they made me audition. And so I auditioned, and they said, okay, so Terry Schnaubelt is going to read your book, because she's like a famous book reader. So it's a nice way to say, like, you sucked at that.
Well, you know, it's interesting because we're casting for, we're thinking about the beginning of how to cast for a TV series, because we just signed an option for the book. But you know how that goes. Everything gets optioned, nothing gets made. But we're still in the fun part of it where you believe it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And I actually think Maren could be really great to play Jen in the series. She's just so, so good. So I think that could be a really interesting option.
So if she's tied to it, is it more likely to go to series then?
Well, we have an actress for Riley already. So who I'm not allowed to say yet, that we actually just signed the deal like 2 days ago.